but let's call it. Looks like it is 4 o'clock, so I will call this meeting to order. Just want to thank everybody, welcome everyone to the Savannah-Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission for September 7th, 2023. First order of business is to approve the August 3rd, 2023 meeting minutes, if there is a motion to do so. Nick made a motion. Is there, if there's a second?
Yes. Eileen, second.
There's a second to the motion. Unless there's any objection, meeting minutes for the August 3rd meeting are approved. I just wanted to take a second and just say thank you again to everyone that attended the last meeting. I particularly wanted to say thank you to my colleagues for the way, and staff for the way the last meeting was conducted regarding the square naming. There was a lot of moving parts to that, and I think it was an honor to serve with you all. And as everyone knows, should know, City Council did approve the naming of Taylor Square. So now we have a new name to the square. So congratulations to that. So for the first item on the regular agenda is a petition of James A. Gatling Jr. for 613 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard for a historical marker sign. And staff will make the presentation and we'll hear from the petitioner.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the application. The applicant is requesting approval for a National Register of Historic Places sign for St. Philip AME Church located at 613 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. The sign is already manufactured and was provided to the congregation by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. The applicant seeks approval to be able to install the freestanding sign on the church property in an area that will be visible to pedestrians on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Just pull up the sign. And so the marker text says St. Philip AME Church has been placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1984 by the United States Department of the Interior, William G. Pomeroy Foundation, 2023. The sign was funded and manufactured through the foundation's National Register Signage Grant Program. The National Register of Historic Places designation does not include funding for signage. So the Pomeroy Foundation seeks to fill that gap by providing grants for either a plaque or a marker for recognition of designated sites. At the time the sign was manufactured, the applicant was not yet aware of the process for installation and approval, hence the reason it already exists. The proposed location is in a lawn area on the church property that faces the sidewalk on MLK. Just a few alternate views from different perspectives. So the applicant stated, St. Philip AME Church is significant in architecture and religion as an excellent example of Romanesque architecture for a religious structure with its columns, arches, and stained glass. It is also significant as a work of noted Black architect John A. Lankford, a graduate of Tuskegee Institute and the Architectural College of Scranton, PA. This AME congregation was the first to be founded in Georgia in 1865, and has been a focal point for Black religions and social life in Savannah since its completion. Staff found that overall the standards were met and that the intent of the design standard for size is met. The sign is already created and is part of the Pomeroy Foundation's National Register Marker Program, which has their own standard sign design. Although its size is smaller with an 18 by 32 plate size rather than the 30 by 42 size of a GHS marker, the shape still matches the GHS shape, and additionally, as a sign recognizing the site's National Register of Historic Places designation, it differs from the typical GHS marker content and is much shorter than the typical narrative found on the larger sign size. Staff notes that the proposed installation site should be evaluated for possible underground utilities. And with that, staff recommends approval of the installation of the National Register of Historic Places sign on the property of St. Philip AME Church, 613 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, with the following condition, because otherwise the project meets the standards in the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. One, ensure there are no below ground utilities present at the proposed sign installation location. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. So I just want to make a clarification. So this is on private property, correct?
Correct.
This is on the church's property.
Yes.
So that this will not need to go to City Council for approval.
Just wanted
to make that clarification. Does any board members have any questions of staff? Nick, make sure your mic is on you.
I think when you add that 1984, I think it should be was placed, not has been placed. But that's okay. We can deal with it.
Noted.
It's kind of too late now. That's a good point. I'm not sure how you'd make that correction, though. Any other questions of staff? No other questions of staff. We can hear from the petitioner. The petitioner is here. Yes, sir. Yeah, you can just come to the podium and just say your name and association for the record.
Hello, my name is James Gatling. I am one of the trustees of the church. The only other thing I have to add is we did have the utilities checked since that time, and there are none in that area.
Great. This seems entirely appropriate to me. Did you want to say anything else?
I don't have anything else to add. She's done a great job.
It seems entirely appropriate to me. Did any board members have any questions of the petitioner? Congratulations for being on the historic register, and this lets people know, right? No other questions? No other questions of the petitioner. We can open the floor up to public comment. If there is anyone here in person to comment on this petition for or against, welcome to step up to the podium. If we have anyone online, you can use the raise your hand feature. Doesn't look like there's anybody online. If there's no public comment, then we could, if there's a discussion or a motion, this seems entirely appropriate. No discussion, motion. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation as stated.
So the motion is to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
This is Lisa. I second that.
So the motion is to approve staff recommendations, and it is seconded. Nick, how do you vote? Yeah, we'll go down the line just that way everyone knows. So Nick votes aye.
Aye.
Lisa, aye.
Sean, aye.
The motion passes. Pam, if Catherine is online, she's not able to vote, I'm guessing, right? Is she able to ask any questions? Oh, she's not there at all.
If she were online, yes, she could ask questions.
So just to clarify, there's another commissioner is sick and at home. But so she would be able to ask questions. Is she able to vote if she was online?
Not able to vote, but she can ask questions.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks for that clarification. The motion passes. Congratulations, and thank you. If you have an unveiling, we would love to be invited. If you have anything like that and you could just let staff know, we would love to come and show support.
Definitely attending one.
Thank you. Congratulations. On to the next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Maxine Jones of Partridge Street between Price and Blair Streets for an honorary street naming. And we will hear from staff and then we'll hear from the petitioner.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for an honorary street designation on Partridge Street between Blair and Price Streets for the honorary name of Reverend Matthew Southall Brown Sr. Street. Staff found that the standards were met. Reverend Brown made significant contributions to the community over the course of his lifetime as a Savannah resident. Some of his civic involvements and outreach ministries included the Boys Summit, which he organized to encourage boys to aspire to decency, goal setting, developing, and enhancing character and self-esteem. He was a coordinator of One Church, One Child program for Chatham County, chief chaplain of the Savannah Police Department, community mediator, on the planning committee for the 250th Savannah birthday celebration, was a chairman of the Savannah Housing Authority for 10 years, was an NAACP and Savannah State University National Search Committees, and served on original statewide Martin Luther King Jr. Observation Holiday Committee, to name a few. Additionally, Brown grew up in a duplex at 519-521 Hartridge Street and became the pastor of St. John Missionary Baptist Church, which was originally located on Hartridge Street. So here's some photos of the proposed block where the honorary naming designation would be. So because this came in late, staff just wanted to note that we did receive one public comment yesterday, which it was a resident just stating they were concerned about negative impacts on emergency services, utilities, and so forth. But staff did explain that this is merely an honorary designation that doesn't change the actual street name. But just wanted to make everybody aware that that did come in later. But with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for an honorary street designation at Hartridge Street between Blair and Price Streets in honor of Reverend Matthew Southall Brown Sr., as requested, because the proposed honorary street designation meets the standards within Article E, naming and renaming of public property, facilities, and streets. Thank you.
Thanks, Caitlin. Could you click back on the tab for that public comment? I did want to address that just because it's a reasonable question, but it's worth clarifying that the honorary street names are in addition to, it's not a change of the street name itself. The honorary street name would go in addition to the street name.
Right.
So if someone is, that would alleviate any confusion of emergency services, utilities, et cetera. And that is covered, I believe, in like the code that.
Yes.
I believe. Anyway, just worth addressing.
Sure.
Any other questions or any questions of staff, Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, sorry.
You put it exactly as the picture that I wanted to bring up and mention. Thank you.
All right.
You're a mind reader. Sorry, Mr. Chapman. This is Sean. Real quick, so since you've got this here and because of that public comment letter that was received, does the honorary street name go basically add like another sign on that where the yellow line is, but kind of like in, I know I'm wrong on it, but Bacon Park area maybe where they have like the black decorative-ish sign underneath the street name for like Abercorn or whatever?
I think they're brown and it just goes, it goes right underneath. Like I guess here it might go right under the one way.
Does it go underneath or does it go above? I thought it went on top. Joe,
maybe it goes above.
That's just what I was,
maybe,
that was my only question.
I think it actually goes on the top, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Basically, whether it goes on top or on bottom, in my opinion, is irrelevant. I just wanted to make sure that it's still essentially left Hartridge and I think that's Price.
Right, yeah.
It's the other side. Or whatever portion of Hartridge, whatever. I can't speak today. It's still there. It's just basically as a subset. Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification.
Sure.
Yeah, it does. And I remember when they did the Warnock Street naming, if I'm not mistaken, it was basically three street signs on the pole, and it was just the Warnock was on the top. So the other, it didn't obscure any street signs or anything like that. Nick?
Let me get this straight. Are there going to be two physical signs on this street?
There'll be on either end of the block where the street sign is. I believe there'll be one on either where it shows how, here you see there's two just on either end. I believe there's one to go on each of those.
So it's like, it'll be Hartridge like this and then Price and then the other sign would be on like this. That makes sense.
As one with no sense of direction, you're a little scary to me.
That's a fair point. Any other questions, Lisa? Did you have a question? Any other questions of staff? If there are no other questions of staff, we can hear from the petitioner.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My brother, Lanai Brown.
If you could just state your name for the record.
Maxine Jones, daughter of Pastor Reverend Matthew Southall Brown Sr. This is my brother, Leonard Alvin Brown. And I have my younger brother here, Reverend Matthew Southall Brown Jr. and his wife.
How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. A lot of what I was going to say has been mentioned in the petition. I just want to mention a few things since I'm a family historian. On an unpaved street on a Sunday on July 16, 1922, Matthew Southall Brown Sr. was born in a duplex on Hartrick Street at 2019 and 523. It began his 99-year journey of a life of service. From that duplex, he was in walking distance of East Broad Street School, in which he attended, St. Benedict School, in which he attended, and he became the pastor of St. John Baptist Church, which was less than 10 feet from where he was born, which I think is significant. I want to mention one other thing. Beyond Hartrick Street, our father was a goodwill ambassador for the city of Savannah to the country of Israel and Egypt, and it was sponsored by the Savannah Jewish Alliance. Also, he gave the opening prayer for the 109th session of the United States Congress, and he opened the city council meeting with an opening prayer for 15 years. He was invited to the Netherlands and Belgium in their celebration of the Battle of the Bulge, in which he was a World War II veteran. He often stated that no night was too dark or no day was too long to serve the congregation or community of Savannah. And finally, this is a full circle moment. 101 years later, we remember him on this street. Thank you.
Thank you. This is one of those instances, we always talk about where we learn a lot of history about people that maybe we didn't know too much about. And it's a real honor to hear about this individual. And it seems like a very appropriate honor for this person. Commissioners have any questions of the petitioner? Bree is giving a visual representation. So it looks like it is below it. I think that because there's a one-way sign, they'll figure it out. Any questions of the petitioner? No questions?
I have a comment.
Lisa.
Thank you for what you just said. I always get really emotional during these petitions, but I also appreciate all the work that was done for trying to figure out the name of Hartrick Street and where it came from. I really appreciate reading through that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the research that has gone on is not gone unnoticed. I mean, it's really enlightening to read a lot of these applications, and particularly yours. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Caitlin, was the only public comment that we received on that petition?
Correct.
So if there's no other questions of the petitioner, then we can open it up to a public comment. If there's anyone here to comment on this petition, pro or con, feel free to raise your hand or just walk up to the podium. If there's anyone online, use the raise your hand feature and we'll get to you in a minute. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Ruthie Thompson. I'm a retired high school teacher here in Savannah, Georgia. And along with Pastor Brown, although he's much older than me, but I too was born right around the corner on Blair, but it used to be Boeing's, and that name has been changed to Blair. And I think it might be 25 feet maybe from where I was born to St. John. There used to be the Mighty Fortress, St. John Baptist Church. But Pastor Brown, I look to him as a spiritual father, And also, Pastor Brown, my mother died when I was young, about 3 years old. But Pastor Brown and his wife, Lottie Brown, were friends to my mother. So it really goes deep. And this honorary tribute to him is very, very deeply felt. And I'm just so happy that, you know, just a little piece of Savannah will always remember him.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in person to speak on this petition? Yes, ma'am. You arrived just in time.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
My name is Dr. Estella Chavez, and I am representative of the 5th District, also the Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Savannah. It is an honor to be standing here. To be standing here with a journey that has brought us to the place of right now where this family, this community, these friends have been working so hard for this due justice for the Reverend Matthew Southall Brown, Sr. If I had my way, I would have had about two or three more designations, but it was not so. So I am here to just stand and say to all of you that it would be such an honor and a legacy. We're talking about a signed designation, not big carve out statues or anything of that nature. We're talking about a sign. But that sign in my recent years have become a giant thing in our community because it let the ones who do not know what happened in the past. And with this sign designation on Hodrick Street that will carry the Reverend Matthew Southall Brown's name, we'll give some questions on who is that? And then it would allow the people to go and find out who this giant of a man. I am in ministry also. And in my days and nowadays and before days, he was and he still is in spirit the pastor of all pastors in Chatham County, in Savannah, and in the Southeast region. That is who he was. And this last thing I must say, maybe the last thing I must say. I found out in later years, because I'm now serving in my 12th year as a representative of the 5th District, they told me that they met somewhere in the 5th District. And they decided who they were going to choose for the next city council's representative for the 5th District after Alderman Clifton Jones decided to retire. I found out that this posse got together and my name wound up in the hat. And then from that posse, they sent the Reverend Matthew Southall Brown, Sr. to come and get me. I told him no that day. I don't know, you know, I don't know. What do you talk about, sir? I'm not interested in politics. It's not even my agenda. I need to just do what I'm doing. But 12 years later, I am so clear on why they chose me to be the representative of the 5th District. I am so ever, forever, forever, forever grateful to that posse and for that leader from our community, and not just our community. We own him. We own him in the 5th District. He is ours. We are lending him out to everybody else. And but we are happy. We are happy about this. And thank you all so much for considering voting to move this forward. Thank you all so much for your work and your service.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for making time. That was really good timing there too. Does anyone, are there any other, yes, ma'am.
My name is Colleen Cunningham. I'm a retired professor of historic preservation at Savannah College of Art and Design. And I moved into Blair Street almost 30 years ago when there was nothing there but devastation. And I was the first person to come in and restore a house. And now I'm so pleased to be living on a historic street. I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Reverend Matthew Southall Brown Jr. Senior is my father, and I often used to ask him and say to him that I don't think I could ever be as great as he was or is. And he would tell me, son, do the best that you can where you are. His name is written in the Netherlands. They've designated a room in the historic building in the Netherlands for him. He stood before 15,000 people. The king honored him. His feet did not touch the ground. He was representing the World War II veterans who served but were not honored for their service. His name is written in Washington, D.C. The vice president came during Bill Clinton's presidency and honored him at his church on Hotcher Street. And the list goes on and on. But more so than not, his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in glory. And that is the greatest honor that any man can receive. We thank you for listening, and we thank you for honoring. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in person to speak on this petition? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, all of you. My name is Dr. George Philly III. I am the pastor of St. John Baptist Church, the Mighty Fortress, that is located at both 522-28 Hartridge Street, as well as 2415 East Durant Avenue. As we say, the soul of Savannah. Of course, that our area of specialization upon achieving our dissertation completion was in the area of African American religious history, as well as focus in on the antebellum South. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated that we are not makers of history. We are made by history. Our church, as has been researched and known, that was started 139 years. We have been blessed that during that tenure, because of St. John Baptist Church, the Mighty Fortress, that we have had five pastors, beginning with Reverend William E. Gray, who was designated and was a member of the historic First Bryan Baptist Church in Yamacraw, gave his blessing to Reverend Gray, and at that time, that was the east side of Savannah. And because of the historic First Bryan and the blessing that, as we state and as we preach and teach, that the church is a perpetual institution. After Reverend Gray served over 40 plus years and as well helped designate and create the founder of the Berean Missionary Baptist Association, as well as one of the architects of the Georgia Baptist Convention. From there, after having built two edifices, he was called on from earth to glory. Dr. Evans Oliver Sylvester Cleveland came in and served over 36 years. During his tenure, he was one of our first individuals of African Americans who graduated from Shaw University with a doctorate degree. Dr. E.O.S. Cleveland also played five different types of instruments in a beautiful way. During his tenure, we were known as the musical church with the musical pastor. Dr. E.O.S. Cleveland served with distinction as well as being the president of the Sunday School and BTU Congress. He also was able to share his memoirs that we have found and collected from a book entitled from one of his sermons, When the Eagle Stirreth His Nest. As he was able to place into the historic building that burnt, unfortunately, decades later, one of two molar pipe organs that was in the South region. From there, we have transitioning into the pastorate, the Reverend Dr. Cameron Madison Alexander served with distinction for 4 years. Even though that his tenure was short, his influence was strong and wide because of Dr. Cameron Madison Alexander. The streets, the parking lots were paved. It is noted in his ongoing obituary, as researched here, that during his tenure, he partnered with CNS Bank and was very instrumental in helping African Americans, as well as designating community development for Cloverdale. He desired to continue to expand his reach and serve with distinction, along with our fourth pastor, with the General Missionary Baptist Convention for over 20 years. Upon his departure to Atlanta to serve Antioch North, our late pastor emeritus, Reverend Matthew Southall Brown, Sr., came in, served to the utmost capabilities that God had endowed upon him. It is through his efforts that Computer Lab was created, that the upkeep to the former building was wrought, that extensions were made. And during the devastation of the church being burned by fire, that he was the instrument that God used to lead us and to lead this congregation back in a beautifully well-endowed building. Our pastor emeritus was our third serving longest, completing his tenure from 1969 to 2004. Currently, as we have served under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit since 2005, as we're going into our 18th year, God has continually blessed St. John the Mighty Fortress to expand our scope and our reach. Not only do we maintain and use our properties on Hartree Street, we were blessed to purchase from the Savannah Christian Preparatory Campus on 2415 Eastern Avenue, the wonderful 14-plus acre campus, which we've added additional acreage to bring it up to 17 acres there that houses our academy from first through 12th grade, St. John Academy, as well as the needs of our congregation and our community. With distinction during our pastor emeritus's tenure, we were able to create the St. John Villa, which still serves the needs of our community and is one of the only African-American fully owned and operated by a nonprofit that is still meeting community needs. We've taken those and we are now expanding our 202C HUD on our current property as well as approving additions. Most importantly, because we are now one of the largest landholding congregations, African-American in the Southeast region, we were able to be one of the first congregations to send students to
Sir, I don't want to cut you too short, but I definitely want to make sure that everyone else has a chance.
Oh,
so
sure.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
We have one more petition, and I just want to make sure that everybody has that chance.
Yeah. So as we deal with the issue of history, we desire that all that have spoken are not a member of our vast and large congregation. Nor have we been engaged with the opportunity to have a discussion with the Brown family. And so we did not and have not signed any type of petition. We do understand that if this is an instance where the tail wags the dog, we have no problem.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm confused. I'm confused now. Could you repeat what you just said?
That we have not signed the petition regarding we have not had a discussion with the Brown family from St. John Baptist Church.
Okay.
And as we represent them, we would desire that opportunity to have that. And if this has already been completed, we definitely understand. But given the respect that is due to the church, seeing that if it wasn't for St. John Baptist Church, as I stated through these other previous pastors, and my apologies for the length, but there is a history that is previous as well as proceeding. We do feel as the type of congregation we are, whether we are large or small, that just as all other respect has been given to us throughout street namings that we've hosted and been a part of, we do desire that opportunity for the Brown family to come and share with the pastor and the members, seeing that we are still one of the largest property owners on Hartridge and Blair.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'm taking it you don't support this petition.
No.
Okay.
Until, yes, myself nor St. John.
Thank you. And I didn't mean to cut you off, and I apologize. I just want to make sure that everybody has enough time. We are at the point now where we are either going to approve or not approve this. I think the conversation between the family and the church is not something that we can facilitate here. That's up to you all. We can move on though. I didn't want to get into a debate at this point. This is more of just a public comment period. So it's made it on the record. If this lady wants to speak and you want to speak again, I'm happy to let you say something again. But I think we're at the point now where we're just hearing public comment and we're going to make a recommendation to City Council and that they will, then make a decision on this.
Hello, my name is Vanessa Powers. I'm over 30-year member of St. John. And everything they say about Pastor Brown has been true. But this is small. I think it needs to be bigger for him. Not just on Hartridge Street, because I feel if that's the case, we should be putting Father Gray's name that started the church on Hartridge Street. But I think it needs to be something bigger for Pastor Brown. He's done a lot.
Thank you, ma'am. If you want to make one more comment.
Like you said.
I'm sorry. Just state your name again, if you don't mind.
Reverend Matthew Southall-Brown.
That way we know on the audio who's speaking.
Okay, Junior. I'm trying to sort of be Christian about this whole process And as you said, discussions, if there's further discussion, then it should be between the family and the church. But I believe feelings and dislikes and all of those sorts of things should not come into this process and disagreements. The fact of the matter is we're dealing with honor. We're dealing with respect. We're dealing with decency. And in so that we are dealing with those specific areas, I think it was a shot below the belt what just occurred. And it's sort of embarrassing, you know, for the church for that sort of process to take place. But we're not going to entertain that. We're going to ask commission to make a ruling on the process as they see fit.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I think that, I would make a comment that this is an honorary street name for an individual.
Oh, there's someone online.
Okay. One second on that, but this is an honorary street naming for an individual. His associations notwithstanding, this is an honor of an individual. If there's someone to speak online, go ahead. The floor is yours. If you could just state your name for the record.
Person's name is Charlotte Perkins.
I'm sorry, say the name again.
Charlotte
Perkins. Charlie, are you there? We're listening.
Let's say self-muted.
It sounds like you're self-muted.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes. If you just state your full name for the record, just speak up just a little bit.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon. I'm sorry. I'm on my phone. My name is Charlotte Perkins. I am a member of St. John Baptist Church, the Mighty Fortress. And with all the information that has been shared today, it has been stated as well. It is an honor with the history that Reverend Southall Brown Sr. has provided, as well as the other pastors, as well as it has been stated with the history that has been made. And I just hope that everything will be taken into consideration that has been shared, that with the history, there would not be a St. John Baptist Church without the foundation that was laid by all these before pastors and everyone else instrumental in this here. So I just wanted to share that. I hope that all of this is taken into the account with the review of this request. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else here in person to speak on this petition? Anyone else online to speak? Okay. If not, we can entertain board discussion. I do think that everyone is entitled to their opinion. That's what this is. This is a public forum, and there people are welcome to speak for or against a petition, and that's what we're here for. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I hope that this is still okay. And if my question should have been asked earlier, tell me. It doesn't matter. But with Caitlin up at the podium, this is more of a question for staff based off of the definition of and the actual application process. Essentially, what I want to know is my question, which is in terms of murals, naming of parks, so on and so forth, there has to be greater than 50% of property owners around within 200 feet. I'm probably getting a few of the specifics wrong, but in terms of an honorary street name, what are the requirements for percentages of people in support around the street name?
So I'm going to jump in. I don't think that there, so that's the renaming of the square process.
Right. That's why I was asking. I was using that.
There is no percentage.
Yeah. I think correct, if it was like an official renaming, it would be different.
Okay. So for an honorary, then it doesn't matter.
But they did still provide, some.
I mean, we take into consideration public comment. No. But yeah, for murals or something, there's no certain percentage of people that need to approve of it. So.
And that's just what I wanted as a point of clarification. So thank you very much, Caitlin.
Joe, if you'd like to say something, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring.
That's a very reasonable question.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, an honorary street designation does require 51% of the adjacent property owners for the petition to move forward.
Okay. All right. Thank you then. We stand corrected then.
All right. Thank you.
And that criteria has been met. Correct. Okay. Okay. No, thanks for that question, Sean. And thank you for that clarification, Joe.
Okay. Thank you.
So the petition wouldn't be in front of us if that criteria hadn't been met.
Great.
And I was incorrect. So I appreciate that clarification.
So.
With these things, I will comment that there's petitions for and against any number of things that come before us, and people are entitled to their opinion. And I think that one of our roles here is to take the public comment for and against, and to take that into consideration. And then we vote to make a recommendation to City Council in this instance, and then City Council will ultimately, make that final decision. I think we're past that. I don't want to belabor this too much, and I don't want to cut you off, but I don't think you need to worry about any issues right now. I don't want to prolong this more than it needs to be. If there is a discussion though, amongst the board members, if there are any questions or discussions.
I have a question.
Lisa.
I don't understand what we're looking at here, because there's some that's crossed out and some circled. What?
That's a good question. Is this the petitioner's petition? go ahead, sir, if you'd like to come back up.
Maxine Brown Jones, Pastor. Daughter of Pastor Matthew Southall Brown Sr. I submitted all of the information that you have before you, and some of the we submitted a final list where there aren't any crosses out or circled names, but those names were circled, and I can't remember exactly if the circle names were the ones that were approved, but it says so on the top of the page. Each time we submitted the names, we were told we needed one more signature. So I kept just adding to the list until we got to the final third presentation. And so there should be a list with at least three letters, and then there should be a list with the names that are of all of the people who approved.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, and I think Joe is probably going to explain. So then my question, stop.
If you want me to leave on that slide, I was helping to clarify.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could bring a point of clarification to help provide some clarity to this issue. Oftentimes with naming petitions, there'll be a variety of different signatures that are submitted. And it's important to understand that we encourage applicants to submit as many signatures of support as they can render. It's important to show community support for an initiative to go forward. However, the ordinance requires 51% of adjacent property owners. That doesn't mean that other property owners' opinions aren't important. It simply means that it's required to have 51% of adjacent property owners for the petition to come to this board, to this body. So the document you saw before was a working document that was used to identify which properties were adjacent and those that are not. You'll see here it highlights the adjacent properties, which is what we use to determine if that 51% has been met or has not been met. We also use the latest property tax records to verify that property owner. And as we've known from different petitions, property ownership can change. So what we do is when the petition is submitted, we compare that with the most recent property tax data that we possess in order for the petition to move forward. This document here shows the adjacent property owner's signatures, and you'll see this document's a little cleaner than the one you saw before, which was a working document that was submitted with the petition. I hope that provides a little more clarity.
That's excellent. Thank you for that, Joe. And showing that property map was helpful as well. And thank you for that clarification. Sean.
Hold on, Joe. Don't go anywhere. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Can you go back up to slide 17, I think it is? Okay, so then what is this showing?
So this is showing the tax record of the owner and address. So you'll see this particular document shows on the left column the property owner.
Gotcha.
On the middle column is the ownership address, which is not the physical property address, but the ownership address of that individual. It's how we get in contact with them if possible. And then on the far right, you'll see the physical address of the property of adjacentness to the street that's being considered.
Gotcha. So then this isn't actually saying that these property owners actually support or are either for or against it. It's just saying, hey, these are the actual people who own the properties along Hartridge Street, correct?
Correct. And this document is shared with petitioners. So when an individual is interested in the naming process, we as staff pull together this list and inform them that of this list, you have to gain 51% support in order to move forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification, Joe. I'm feeling guilty now, and I, if you would like to say another word, sir, you're welcome to, because I know that this is your father, so I don't want to cut you off too
much. I'll only give 30 seconds. If memory serves me correctly, we did what was asked of us and required of us by the city. My brother and my sister went from house to house, getting petitions of approval, making sure that those individuals understood what we were attempting to do. And in so doing that, their approval was by signature. That's what that's sign up sheet. Am I correct?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any doubt that we're in order, that everything is in order. I mean, I think the question before this commission at this point, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't want this to turn into too much of a debate. I think we want to move. I do want to move this along. The question before this commission is hearing the letters and the individual support here. Is this a reasonable request of an honorary street name for us to approve or not approve for city council? But, and again, city council will make the final decision. I would reiterate that it is an unfortunate situation with the church, but this is in honor of an individual, and this individual did a lot of different things, and that's, I think, what we're here to decide. If there's a discussion or a motion. Don't everyone jump in at once. It's too confusing. Nick, your microphone's not on.
I move that we move to a vote.
Staff recommendation?
On a staff recommendation.
So there's a motion to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
This is Lisa. I second.
So there's the motion is to approve staff recommendation, and it's seconded. Nick, how do you vote?
Aye.
Nick votes aye.
Irene, yes.
Lisa, aye.
Sean.
Yes, Sean.
Sorry, I'm really torn as to how I want to vote.
Okay.
I'm just gonna go no.
Sean?
Yes.
John?
Oh, sorry, no.
Okay, the motion passes. Congratulations. And thank you all for your participation. And thank you, Joe, for clarification. Okay, we've got one other petition on the agenda. It is the petition of Patricia Swindle, I hope I'm saying your name right, for 3001-3116 Hopkins Street, another honorary street renaming. And we'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from the petitioner.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again, presenting the petition for the honorary street designation of Coach Ronald Booker Way. This would be Hopkins Street between West Victory Drive and West 48th Street. The stretch of Hopkins Street is near Alfred Eli Beach High School, where Booker was an alumnus and also head coach of the Lady Bulldogs, among other athletic accomplishments. Just to show this location, see here, and then similar placement, you know, within this block. Staff found overall the standards were met. Coach Ronald Booker was the head coach of the Beach High School Lady Bulldogs for 34 years. He has also served as an assistant coach for the boys basketball team, as well as serving the athletic director. Coach Booker was also a special assistant coach to the women's basketball team at Savannah State University. He is an alumnus of both Beach High School and Savannah State, so he has given back to his alma maters. Additionally, Coach Booker was involved as a volunteer with the John S. Delaware Center and other civic organizations. He was seen as a father figure to many of his 1,500 plus student athletes over the course of his career. The only standard not met was that towards the endorsement by the mayor or an at-large alderman or alderman representing the district in which the property is located. So with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for an honorary street designation at Hopkins Street between West Victory Drive and West 48th Street in honor of Coach Ronald Booker, with the following condition: because the proposed honorary street designation otherwise meets the standards within Article E, naming and renaming of public property facilities and streets, and that is just provide an endorsement letter from the mayor or an alderman. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Caitlin. That is one of the requirements, so it was the petitioner made aware of that before this meeting?
I believe it may be in progress.
Okay.
Yes.
It feels a little bit difficult to vote on that before. I mean, that feels like that's part of that's kind of standard procedure. Not your fault, but I'm just wondering if it's premature for us to be voting on this, if it's not basically not a complete. I'm not trying to disrespect that, but let's wait until the petitioner. Are you the petitioner, ma'am? Okay, hold on 1 second, then I'll save that question for you then. Then I'll save that my question for the petitioner. Any other questions of staff? Sean? Eileen, did you have a question?
No.
Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that, and the only reason I mentioned this question is because it was brought up last meeting regarding the unnamed square, right? Do we know where the requirement came? And this may, Caitlin, you may or may not know this, but do we know where the requirement for must have the mayor or alder person endorse the proposed name?
I believe that's in the code, right?
I know it's in the code, but I'm wondering
like what the origin was.
Yeah, and the reason I asked that is because specifically from the unnamed square, where literally there were three or four alder people who, and even including the mayor, literally just signed off on whatever it was, regardless of how they actually voted, right? So that's just what I'm wondering. If it's actually important that a mayor or alderman, with the exception of it actually being written in the ordinance or code, however it is,
I personally don't know. Yeah, and I don't know if that's something anyone else, MPC staff, is aware of. But
Joe, are you
maybe have some knowledge about it? But.
I'm confused by the question, honestly.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Joe Shearhouse with the City of Savannah. The Endorsement of an elected official has two purposes. The first is actually to cap the number of honorary designations that are done per year. And that was put into place to make sure that elected officials do not submit too many honorary street designations for political purposes. So each alderman only has the ability to endorse two petitions per year. That caps the number that they can do per year to not overindulge this board with
you
requests.
Genuinely have all of the answers to all of our questions.
Well,
Thank you for that.
There's also a secondary goal of that requirement is to just make sure that the individual who represents that district is informed of the petition moving forward and supports it to make sure there's no community dissent and to just further substantiate the needs for that recommendation to move forward.
That is very clarifying. Did that help, Sean?
Yes, but it raised a ton of other questions I've got now, but that's neither here nor there. So thank you very much, Joe.
That was very clarifying though, Joe. So to be clear then, so no, as you said, no council member can submit more than two letters per year for...
No council member can have two honorary street designations.
Specific to street designations.
Just street designations.
The square was a separate issue.
Okay. Per year. They can endorse an application that does not move forward. However, they cannot have two honorary street designations approved per year.
Gotcha.
And just for clarification on this item, which has been verbally endorsed by Mayor Pro Tem Shabazz, this would be her.
I believe we have the letter in question in our presence. So
this would be her second one for 2023, which would not allow her to do any more honorary street designations this fiscal year, this calendar year.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for that. That was very clarifying. Any other questions of staff? If we don't have, Lisa, did you have a question of staff?
So because we don't have 51% of neighboring residents?
No, we're not talking about that. We have,
we do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's covered. Don't confuse me.
That is covered here.
Yeah. We got lost in the sauce there for a minute. And I believe, Alderwoman, do you want to let us know if we have that letter, then we can just dispatch with that question all together then. I'm sorry. Any other questions of staff? Okay. And we'll hear from the petitioner. And thank you for making time to come here. So this is the letter we've all been waiting for.
Yes. They needed my signature on the letter.
There you go.
I knew about it.
Okay. So we can enter that into the public record and that solves my question about that. Thank you very much for that. Okay. And I'm not trying to be nitpicky about it. I just want to make sure everything's in order so no one can come behind and say that we didn't do it correctly. Also, ma'am, do you want to, if you're the petitioner, you're welcome to come up and say a word if you like. How are you? Just say your name for the record then.
Priscilla Swindell.
So I didn't get your name right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just want to say, according to the word of God, it says give honor where honor is due. And this petition to have a designated renaming of the street for Coach Ronald Booker is beyond designation. I mean, this man of integrity has served the community, and we're doing this hopefully unveiling on his birthday because we have hundreds of people that he has touched their lives come back to Savannah to give back to him. So we thank you for this opportunity, and we hope it goes forth.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And just to clarify, this is an honorary street name, so it's not technically a renaming. The original name will still be intact, and then I just wanted to make that clear for anyone listening or anything. Are there any questions of the petitioner? It sure seems like a very good honor, in my opinion. And informative application to read about these individuals that I hadn't known about. Are there any other questions of the petitioner? Any public comment? If there's anyone here to comment on this petition for or against in person, doesn't look like there are. Are there anyone online? Doesn't look like there are. Any discussions? I mean, this seems pretty straightforward. Any motions? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to approve Seth's recommendation without the caveat because that was already met.
Yeah. So the letter has been or is in the process of being entered into the public record. So this would be motion is for to approve staff recommendation and that the endorsement letter has been submitted. Is there a second? Nick, is it seconded? Nick, make sure your mic is on. The motion is to approve staff recommendation. Nick, how do you vote?
Aye.
Eileen?
Eileen, aye.
Lisa, aye.
Sean, aye.
The motion passes. Congratulations. And if you wouldn't mind letting us know about that unveiling, we would love to attend if we're able to. Well, it's still subject to city council, but, you know. Let us know. Okay, there is one last item, and I don't want to belabor this, and I do want to make this, you know, I want to not linger on this too long, but in light of the square naming, I have been receiving many, many questions, repeated questions about the Civil War / Confederate Memorial in Forsyth Park. People are talking about the square and they're like, this is great. What's happening with the Confederate Memorial? And my answer to them is, I don't think anything. I have no idea. And so I feel compelled to bring this up again. I'm going to quickly run through the recommendations, and there is the issue of the Confederate busts, and I actually want to put that aside for the moment. There are those busts are still under litigation. I mean, not those busts. There are other counties that are still in litigation with their removal, relocation of monuments. There are a number of recommendations that don't have to do with those busts, and I just want to review those and I would like to sort of see what the commission thinks. I would like to get some clarification as to why some of these, nothing has happened on any of these because there is no legal impediment to a number of these recommendations. So I'm going to do this real quick. Caitlin, you don't have to try to follow me on this, but I have it all right in front of me. The Confederate Memorial Task Force final report, the original task force report was done in December 22nd, 2017. I'm just going to go through these really quick. The first recommendation was to rename the Confederate Monument to the Civil War Memorial. The second the full report details the reasoning behind this stuff, but I'm not going to go into all that. The second recommendation was to preserve all historical material on the memorial. The third recommendation was to install a new bronze plaque on the blank horizontal panel of the south side of the memorial with this text. The memorial was originally erected in 1875 to the Confederate dead, redesigned in 1879, and rededicated in 2018 to all the dead of the American Civil War. The reasoning is that it would be renamed to honor all the dead, including Union soldiers and African Americans. Recommendation number four, it says, do not alter the blank vertical panel on the south side of the memorial. Recommendation five was to relocate the McLaws and Bartow monuments to Laurel Grove North Cemetery. This was in 2017. Recommendation six, what said, do not replace the Bartow and McLaws monuments at the memorial site. Recommendation seven was to preserve the fence around the memorial in the current elliptical shape. And the final recommendation of that task force report was that the community expands the story of the Civil War, its causes, its effects throughout Savannah, other than the Forsyth Park Confederate Memorial site. The intention was to erect more historic markers and whatnot. So we're going to jump forward. There was another a subsequent report by the same task force. They took their own recommendation and called themselves the Civil War Memorial Task Force. So they took that upon themselves. That task force final report was made in October 1st, 2020. And they revised the recommendation number 5, which was to relocate the McLaw and Bartow monuments, because in the intervening time, the Georgia State Legislature made it harder to relocate those busts. So by their inaction, they actually made it harder because they waited around, nothing happened. Oh, I should add, this board and city council also both voted to approve those recommendations. And then nothing happened. And then in October 1st, 2020, they revised recommendation number 5, which was, and their recommendation was, remove the McLaw and Bartow monuments and place them in storage until such time the city of Savannah can identify a proper location for them. That was in response to the change of the law in the intervening time. There was 4 more additional recommendations. Recommendation number 9 was that city of Savannah consistently refer to the memorial as the Civil War Memorial in all city communications, including the city website and official city documents. Additional recommendation number 10 was to include the amendment of Georgia state laws preventing local governments from altering and or removing monuments and memorials that no longer serve the needs of their community constituents to the 2021 City of Savannah legislative agenda. That is to say, they were recommending that the city lobby to get that law changed. Additional recommendation number 11 was to install 1 new interpretive sign mounted in the ground outside the memorial fence line with a panel that incorporates a pictorial timeline of the memorial site. There's an appendix in the report that gives a detail of this. And the text is, in 2018, the city of Savannah approved the relocation of the 2 busts moved here from Chippewa Square in 1910 from the memorial's grounds and the placement of a new plaque at the memorial that states this memorial was originally erected in 1875 to the Confederate dead, redesigned in 1879, rededicated in Civil War Memorial Task Force, 14 additional recommendations, final report. That is to say, they recommended some interpretive signage to be put in there to contextualize. And the additional recommendation number 12 was that the Savannah City Council should establish a permanent culture and history an education committee. It would have a rotating membership comprised of citizens representing Savannah's 6 districts, in addition to experts in the field of education, tourism, and history. The committee would advise city leadership and staff on the ways to expand Savannah's understanding of and interpretation of all the city's history, especially related to the experiences of American blacks, Native Americans, and women. This would be done through new static and living memorials, as well as public engagement, outreach, education, and discussion of that history in new, dynamic, and meaningful ways. And I burned through all that just to sort of remind everyone where all that stands. So for the purposes of this discussion, Pam's staring at me. I want to put the issue of the busts aside for the moment, because there are a number I can forward everyone. I found an article on law.com which details the state of some of the litigation involved. Most of it all is from the Sons of the Confederate Veterans. They have lost most all of the cases that they're bringing, but it's a decidedly mixed bag. So let's just take the bus aside for a minute. One thing I wanted to bring up is a very simple issue of the recommendation number 9 of the additional recommendations. The city of Savannah consistently refer to the memorial as the Civil War Memorial in all city communications, including the city website and official city documents. So I looked on the city website and I was shocked. So under memorials, if you go to savannahga.gov, and I didn't even know this until I just looked it up, there's a list of all the memorials and monuments. Where are my notes? Including the African American Monument, the Forsyth Park Fountain, and then there is it says the Confederate Monument in Forsyth Park. And not only that, the description of the Confederate Memorial in Forsyth Park, I'm going to try to calm myself before I read this. it's shocking. And I don't know who put this on there, and I'm guessing that probably most people don't even realize this is on there. But it says the Confederate Memorial was I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the Confederate Memorial was completed in the spring of 1879 is located in Forsyth Park. Although the lone figure of a proud yet beaten soldier stands atop this monument, and this is the important part, it is truly a memorial to the hundreds of thousands of soldiers who gave their lives for the lost cause of the Confederate States. If you all are familiar with the phraseology of the lost cause, I'm gonna get angry here. I wrote it down. Oh, here it is. The lost cause. The Encyclopedia Britannica, well, Wikipedia calls the lost cause an American pseudo-historical negationist myth that claims the cause of the Confederate States during the American Civil War was just heroic and not centered on slavery. The Encyclopedia Britannica calls the lost cause the philosophical foundation for the racial violence and terrorism employed to reverse Reconstruction and for the reimposition of white supremacy in the Jim Crow era. That is on the city of Savannah's website. I'm shaking right now. That should be gone now, like right now. Like we should, like this angers me. Sean, I'm done with all that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Wow, why did I get all loud talky? So your frustration and anger is well deserved. I think I know that this issue has come up numerous times. I can't even count the number of conversations I've had with elected officials here in the city of Savannah. Now that statement that you just made about on the city of Savannah's website further infuriates me. With all of that said, I want to refer back to, I want to say it was the January or February meeting of the Historic Site and Monuments Commission. Please somebody correct me as to what the actual meeting was. And the reason I mention that is when we were reviewing the master planning guidelines, someone who is speaking right now made that exact statement about the Civil War Memorial. And the reason I'm getting that frustrated about it is because I even flat out said, this commission voted, in 2021, I think is when those guidelines were reapproved by us. And the city of Savannah had voted in 2020, that city council had voted to change the name of that monument to the Civil War Monument. Mm-hmm. If you notice, I wouldn't even refer to it by that racist, terroristic name that it stated. Yeah, I use those two words. I don't care. It's the truth.
It is. It's a symbol of racism.
They're traitors and racists. Move on. So the point is, if you want to get upset about the city of Savannah, yes, you very well should get upset about it being on the city of Savannah's website. However, if it was mentioned at the January or February, again, I'm not entirely sure on the date of the meeting. I refer that to the MPC for what exactly meeting date that was that I mentioned it and brought it up where it was referred to in the master plan and guidelines. Because yes, I read that every single time that we update the master planning guidelines and pointed out, why is it being referred to as that name? It should be referred to as the Civil War Memorial. That's what it should be referred to as, but it still has not been changed.
Well,
so Leah, I don't want to, that's my, huh? Okay.
There you go. All right. Now we've got movement.
Sorry. I agree.
That's a good point, Sean. I mean, I think that's a good point. Lisa.
This is Lisa. So, you know, we just had these petitioners in, right? And they then go to city council. It's so abstract as to who then goes to city council with these recommendations. And I think that's the issue because everybody's saying, oh, maybe the historic people should do it. Oh, maybe MPC should do it. Maybe and nobody's doing it. So there's just got to be someone who pursues it.
That is kind of why I'm bringing this up. Cause as I understand it, there is the city staff has not had any directive to do any of this stuff. And my question is, and I can guess, but what I would like to have clarity on is who's the one that gives directive? I'm going to guess you're not on the spot, Joe. I'm just saying this is the question of everybody. You shouldn't have stayed here. But no, but that's the question. I mean, I'm going to assume it's city council and the mayor. Nick, turn the mic on.
I don't see how it could be anyone else.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then the question is, again, putting the issue of the bus aside, what's on the city's website needs to be changed yesterday. Also, the interpretive signage is another recommendation I wanted to bring up. There's no law preventing anything for any interpretive signage. Why are we 6 years out from the original task force? Both of those reports came in front of this commission. I was here. I voted. I want to say it was unanimous. I believe it was unanimous both times, and they went to city council and they ratified it both times. Why has nothing happened? So that's kind of what I want to get clarity on is, like you say, Lisa, who do we ask?
Who do we ask? Anybody know, and nobody knows. Nick. Again.
I think the people we always ask, what's your staff?
Yeah. And how do we want to go about this? I get this. That's why I'm bringing it up at this commission rather than trying to make phone calls behind the scenes. Because for one thing, I think this needs to be in public. I just want to reiterate, Sean, I continually get questioned about this time and time again, recently, as long as last week. And I have to bring it up because I'm like, this is a position I hold now and I can bring this up. So now the question is, okay, what? Sean, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, who is responsible for that's what it was. So in 2020, I believe November of 2020, when the last time that the recommendations had come before the Site and Monuments Commission, I believe at that time it was Chairman Henry who had suggested to let's write a letter to council. I may be wrong. It might have been somebody else.
Yep.
Please correct me in the minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and we did do that.
Right. And so that was also brought to them again. And I remember that it was actually voted on to change the name of that friggin' statue to the Civil War Memorial Statue, not just refer to it everywhere, to actually change the name of it. Same along that same line, the Savannah River Bridge, which technically doesn't even have a name of the Talmadge Bridge, but it's still referred to as the Talmadge Bridge.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
Right, though. But that's the same thing that's along the same lines.
Well, that's a state level thing. That's not a city level.
But if it doesn't have a name, why keep referring? But that's a different story.
Anyway.
You still get the state involved in this garbage because of the law that was passed in 2020. So again, you're right. Where does the buck stop? And if it's the responsibility, and I know I'm going to get the title wrong, but if it's the job of the clerk of council to set the agenda for city council, is it clerk of council or is it city manager who sets the agenda for this?
I would think it's city manager.
I don't remember which one it is, but if it's the job
and of the mayor,
whomever it is that's supposed to set the agenda for city council, whether it be mayor, city manager, clerk of council, agenda setter for city council meeting, whatever, then he or she needs to be held accountable as to, well, why is this not actually being done?
Well, it's not clerk of council. That's not their fault.
I'm using that as just another title. For all I know, it could be Jimbo Barbarino who sits in.
Joe, you're not obligated to speak now, but Leah, did you want to say something? Do you want to wait? You're not obligated to speak,
well,
but I'm happy to hear what
quick,
you have to
just
say.
Just a very quick, Joseph Sherrill, City Savannah, just a quick process comment. So when this board approves any motion, that motion is given to your staff and then signed off by the executive director of the MPC and then forwarded to the city manager's office for incorporation into the agenda.
Okay.
That is the process that takes place.
That's how I understood it.
The city manager acts on that item that is approved by this board.
You mean the city council agenda?
But then the city council.
City council agenda?
Correct. And it's important to understand that the city manager has the authority to set city council's agenda.
Okay.
Thank or you. Not set city
yes. council. Thank you for that point of clarification. That was really
And the mayor also has that authority as well.
The authority rests in the city manager's hand.
Okay.
It's a common practice that city managers work closely with the mayor to set the agenda.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Thanks, Joe. Always a font of knowledge. At the same time, you know, I don't blame the clerk of council or, I mean, you know, and okay, so let's.
I was not.
Let's find out.
I wasn't trying to blame anybody.
No, I know.
I referenced clerk of council because that sounds like somebody who could set.
Thank
you, Joe, for clarifying that.
It's worth noting that both of these were already voted on by city council and approved. So where is the delay in action? That's the question of the hour. And again, forget the bus thing for now. I'm not forgetting the bus thing, but I'm just saying, because I know what the answer to that's going to be. But the interpretive signage, the changing the name, the changing this ridiculous text, and the rest of that text is very, very celebratory. It's gross. Leah, did you want to say something or no? So how do we want to go about it? Because any one of us could call the mayor's office and just say, what's the deal, EO? But I mean, I think that we need to, I mean, I wanted to bring it up in a public forum so it's on record. And I mean, it's worth noting that the task force members are all very esteemed members of our community, including, I'm not going to know them all. I mean, I'm not going to remember them all offhand, but mm-hmm. They spent their time to do all of this work. It went through the process. It went through our commission. It went to city council. Then they reconvened and did additional recommendations. It went through our commission. It went through city council. Everyone's patting themselves on the back about the square thing, which we should be. We did a great thing. That was awesome. Why is this still just lingering?
And the last date was when?
Pardon?
When the last official act, when the city council accepted it?
The last official, they issued the answer. The last report was issued on October 1st, 2020. They subsequently presented that to us, and I believe Sean is right. I believe in November of 2020, we voted on it, if I'm not mistaken, and then it went to city council.
December.
Okay, so there you go, December of 2020.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Could I ask staff to find out what is going on, what the city council is saying about why someone speaking for the city council is saying why they haven't acted? I think that would be useful information before we proceeded. But once we have that information.
I could easily call them myself, but I mean, it's like, I kind of want this to be more of an official. Motion?
That would be, I would suggest staff at this point.
I mean, I agree with that. Not to put you guys on the hot seat, but I mean, maybe it's like this commission met and the way I would like to phrase it is we just want to get some clarity.
Right.
On
why they haven't acted.
What's the delay? I'm sorry. This was always going to be difficult. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the interest of – sorry, Leah, did you want to say something? I figured that was the answer.
She doesn't want to say something, but she might have to eventually.
So in the interest of time and everybody's nerves, because
– Yeah, I mean, we're all on the same page.
The further and further
right?
we talk about this, the more and more I rank.
Yeah, I don't want to – I don't want
to – So like, I make labor. A motion to – ask staff for clarification as to what the process is to have – Dr. Nick, can you repeat exactly what you said? I'm basically making the motion as to what you were saying.
Okay.
I've got a suggestion.
We'll ask for an update. I'll ask.
Okay.
We'll send a letter over and ask for an
update. Maybe it's an update on that letter that we sent.
Okay. You know, I can do that.
Okay.
We'll take
care of it. Do I have to make a motion or no?
No, you don't have to make a motion. We will take care of it. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're done here.
Thank you.
Thank you for entertaining that, Sean. I mean, Nick. No, I was going to say Sean.
That's okay.
No, go ahead.
I got thrown off. I'm not sure what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I do just want to go on record, and if anybody from the task force is listening, just
thank you for all the hard work, because sometimes I think people just do all this work and all this work, and then it's just like shoved under the rug, and that's why we're all frustrated.
But I mean, all of this does exist, and it's great that it exists, that these reports exist, and they're still online, and anyone can go look them up. Nick?
I think the only thing that we can do at this point is to find out, is to ask them what's going on.
Yeah,
Pam's. Which means the staff does it, because the staff is discreet.
Yeah.
And then I think we reconnoiter. Yeah. And I think at some point we're going to have to say something official.
Yeah. At the very least, just... Give me your WordPress login and let me just change that wording. I mean, for crying out loud.
Well, that was what I was putting the mic up to say, is who is in charge of the city's website? Because I think.
But they need to be directed. They have to be directed to do that.
Of course, of course. But I think that those decisions by city council were the directive too, right?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, indifference. Yes. I mean, and I was thinking, you know, when I looked this up, I'm like, I'm sure hardly anyone, probably no one even knows this. I mean, I didn't know it, but I mean, to look at it, it's like, this is ridiculous. This is like a celebration of this. It's kind of ridiculous. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry. I couldn't figure out the buttons. It's my first day. Yeah. Nobody's going to believe that one. This is Sean. So. Then I'll make this motion.
I don't think we need to make
a
motion.
No, hold on. Because something else that I'm working on, and Leah, your statement right there just jogged my memory exactly as to why. So we ask first off, we ask the MPC to update the master plan and guideline, removing the name of that incorrect statue name to Civil War, to what it's actually called, the Civil War Monument. Memorial or monument, whichever is the correct word, memorial. Okay, so the Civil War Memorial. Then also ask the city archivist to show when or whomever is responsible, I assume it would, because it's archives, the meeting minutes of when it was approved by city council to update their website as well, saying, hey, here's all of your data. Here you go. And then send it to get it all updated.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. It's just
if it's a motion, it's more effective that way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do I need to restate that as a motion? I knew you were going to nod your head yes.
Let's hear what their response is. I mean, I feel like they could go ahead and do it right now.
Mr. Chair.
They have the, I mean.
Are we looking really for a timeline of when each of these items is?
I'm looking for anything.
Because that recommendation really was, I wasn't prepared to vote on it because I felt like it was somewhat dated and kind of incomplete. So yeah. I think
we're going to find out. Pam's going to ask, and then we're going to find out what they say. And then we'll take it up with the next meeting.
And I'll report back to you at the next meeting.
I think you make a very good point here. We need to ask them to reply by when.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Can be.
I mean, the assumption is they'll get back to us before the next meeting, correct?
We have to ask for that.
That's what we want.
So we have to ask
right,
for that.
The end date.
So Pam says yes.
Yes, I'll try to report back to you at the next meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there any other business? Do we have any other petitions for the next meeting, for the October meeting?
Yes.
Okay. So there will be. Our next meeting will be October 5th at 4 p.m. We will look forward to hearing from the city about the update. And I'm going to keep bringing this up until something happens again, just because it's kind of ridiculous.
Before we adjourn?
Yes.
We're just about to adjourn?
I was going to, if there's any new business.
One more thing, which is I want to commend you for that article in the Savannah Morning News.
Oh, thank you.
I think it was August 13th. In which you argued for greater arts funding. It was very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll have you as chair.
I appreciate that, Nick. I did write an article about arts funding. It seems like it made the rounds, and I thank you for that, Nick. I appreciate that. Is there any other new business from anyone? If not, without objection, meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.